Okay, now.
Okay, this is the Planning Commission meeting for February 14th, 2019. Do I have to say who's here?
Yes, may as well.
Matt Cochran, Josie Muse, Elizabeth.
Okay.
What's your last name?
Julian.
Julian, sorry. And, So, we'll start with the agenda, and the first thing to do is approve the January minutes. So, unless there are any comments, someone want to make a motion to approve those?
I'll make a motion to approve them.
I second.
Is this roll call vote, or can we?
Curtis is saying we have roll call.
Okay, Matt Cochran, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
Elizabeth Julian, aye.
Okay, done. Check number two. Is our continued discussion of the residential short-term rentals. So, did everyone get a chance to look at Curtis's last-minute email?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Where do we want to start? I think what Curtis is saying, or what he wants, is that we should give him some edits that he can make.
Yeah.
So considering our public comments from last month, as well as the work we've done.
Well, and I would say even the last 2-3 months, the majority of the comments that we've heard from the public is, why are you making it so restrictive?
Right. So we can sort of go, we can either want, I mean, I guess we can answer sort of the public questions that came up last week and then talk about whatever changes that need to or not need to be made. One thing, maybe bridging it, is one thing that Curtis brought up, is if you make the RSTRs only owner operated rather than absentee owner operated, that you might avoid a lot of the restrictions people are worried about. I haven't looked directly to see how that might affect things.
Well, and I think, secondly, that one of the concerns that I got from asking Curtis the question after the last meeting, as well as from his email, is, are we even legally able to do some of the restrictions we currently have in the draft? Not to mention it was the thing that the public was concerned about, but... To kind of go into the broader view, too, at some point I think it'd be important for us to look at what the county is currently doing, because they're creating one that will not affect each individual town, but then they're saying that ours would have to be able to somehow either umbrella in, or there's some relationship that Steve Cox mentioned.
Right, recently. So we'd have to have Curtis look at it.
Yeah, so the we need to, even if we can only just get their draft version, it would be helpful. Between now and the next meeting for all of us to look at it.
Well, regardless of that, we should probably still give Curtis something to work on.
Yeah.
So we want him to be busy this month.
Why is it why?
So I see that requiring owner-occupied would streamline. And I'm not opposed to that. I think it does solve a lot of issues. I think the other thing he brought up was that 300-foot
yes.
line of sight that Wayne County, I believe, was using one of the mm-hmm. towns over there, and that he didn't think that would be legal. That's the only thing he really called out that I remember that
the written permission from the neighbor
yeah.
may have some legal questions.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I do too.
Because I think the cup will handle neighbor
That's what I think.
Problems and not give someone...
Sure.
If there's a hearing process, then I think you're safe.
Yeah.
So I would scratch that.
I think that's an easy scratch. I really, as I think about it more, like the owner occupied, because that also solves the issue that Mayor Cox brought up, where it was under his understanding that ADUs would not fit into these residential short-term rentals, that it would be houses or rooms within the house. So if it is on an owner-occupied, it kind of crosses that bridge as
right.
well.
Right. So if it was owner occupied, what restrictions could you take out of the already drafted?
So one that I was saying that a lot of people were asking, you know, where is the line? If you look at 3B on page 2, the three geographical areas, at least as far as what the public was saying, is how do you define those, you know, and then you're putting, if you're just doing a straight line, then it's anything that is past the Burr Trail, as well as down Lower Boulder Road, is all one area. And so there's a lot of questions, why do you have the three geographical areas? And so I think we as a group need to decide, if we keep that, then we have to have a reasoning behind it. And if we can't come up with the reason, then what is it there for?
Yeah, well, so you don't have 12 RSTRs up in Heavenly Acre.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. It keeps it spread out. And it, I think if we need to go with a lottery system, which, you know, is still a discussion point, I think it makes it fairer across the town if you have so many in each area.
And the only thing I'd change on the geography is you have Upper Boulder from the cemetery up. I would change the designation between Middle Boulder and Lower Boulder and say Lower Boulder is anything off Lower Boulder Road. Middle Boulder includes north and south of Highway 12 out here. Mm-hmm. And sort of it makes more sense.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think it balances out the number of residents. Mm-hmm.
South of the cemetery.
Yeah, because right now it's just a straight line out.
One thing to consider is instead of putting the map in the ordinance, say the town council can make a map and draw lines rather than put it in the ordinance and have it be fixed so that you could say, it turns out that we drew the lines wrong. We need to adjust it.
Yeah.
It can be easier.
Wait, you mean just present them with a blank map and have them draw the lines? Is that what you...
Basically have the, you know, say...
Three designated
areas and then the, you know, the town...
So it's fluid, so as needed, the town council can change it without having to revise the ordinance
itself. So
that makes sense.
A new ordinance.
So if, like, the lines would be drawn currently, but it would be the town council, and then if later they needed to be redrawn, we wouldn't have to have it come all the way back to an ordinance change.
Could be either the town council or the planning commission.
Yeah, one or the other, but not make it a concrete thing in the ordinance itself. That makes sense.
As long as they understand the intent of what.
Yeah, and you need to put something about the intent to split up, you know, basically divide it, you know, by probably count houses in each area.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's approximately equal housing units in each area.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, my personal opinion, regardless of making it for owner occupied, I still think there should be some restrictions.
Yeah.
So, and...
I think the advice we've received is to start out more restrictive, and we can always revisit later.
Should we go through this then?
Sure.
Just, I had made some comments on the whereas clauses. I haven't personally worked on them. But I had called out last time in the first one that the Boulder Town Council is concerned with ensuring that the growth of tourism and the need for local accommodations is accomplished. I can't remember what we said about that, but I was worried again about the growth of tourism, because I'm not sure I see that in the vision statement of the general plan.
It's not.
Yeah. So I think we should cut that.
Yeah.
We could just take that part out with ensuring the need for local accommodations.
Yeah. So whereas clause number one, we're writing this stuff down for Curtis, removing that, the growth of tourism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To the end of that the growth of tourism, just that part.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out if there are any others. I had the fourth one. I had some trouble reading cleanly, but.
Yeah, and Curtis said that last time as well. He agreed and said he was going to rewrite that one.
So number four needs an edit on the whereas, just for clearer reading.
Okay.
Okay, so any other thoughts on the whereas clause? Okay, so starting in number one? Mm-hmm. 1 to 29 days, conditional use permit, yes, that's fine. Although Harriet mentioned that once if someone does 29 days, takes a day off and does the next 29 days. But I guess we can find any red tape any loophole anywhere we want. Yeah.
And what would the issue really be there? I mean, because that is a long-term rental.
You could have a long-term rental. Okay.
But I mean, how does that even simplify it? It doesn't. So why not just have a long-term rental?
Yeah.
You know, it's actually simpler to have a long-term rental because you don't have to do a CUP.
Right. To the TRT doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Right.
Nor taxes.
The number two is straightforward, I think.
Yeah.
So number three, limitation on number of RSTRs allowed. We've already discussed a little bit here about that. The total, everyone's good with the total number for now being four in each of these zones?
Yeah.
So does that include the ones that would be grandfathered in?
I have a question about that.
Yeah, and that's the question that people keep asking me the most.
Does anyone here know what happens with the ones that already exist?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Curtis would have a better idea about this.
Yes. Because, I mean, we have issues such as the Robeson Ranch already has three on one property.
Why?
So,
yeah.
Or that was how it was listed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the Tabor's house is three.
Yeah, and I mean,
they have a bunch of different buildings. Yeah. Over
the house that Tabor's in above the barn where there's the basketball hoop and then the main house, all three are currently listed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's one, so there are three right there.
And they would be, because they're outside of the scope of this, because they're absentee and there's multiple ones. They would have to be, they're hungry.
Let me interject. You realize there's no such term as grandfather.
No, it's
But if you are talking about
existing,
they're kind of not even legal non-conforming, right? Because they're illegal right now anyway. But typically, a non-conforming structure basically can't be modified in any way, you know, unless it's to bring itself into code. So it's kind of in their best interest to comply with the law, make it legal, and then they can modify it or rehab it or do stuff they need. Otherwise, they're not supposed to even touch it if it should.
Okay, the lights just went out from the tape there.
Oh, yeah, it's shit on the table. Power out. Okay.
Okay, we're back going. Okay, so
how long will it last?
So that's an issue that will probably resolve itself in some way at some point.
I suppose. Well, you're talking about a non-conforming structure versus a non-conforming use of that structure. And so that's great.
Yeah, but there's both of those things.
Somebody, if say Robeson Ranch were to apply for a permit to do something at one of those locations, we could say, well, you have to make it all conforming before you get whatever you want.
They'd have a lot of hoops to go through.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at it, if you're saying that there's four, and you look at just Lower Boulder right now, there already are four or more because you have the one at Rachel's place, and those three are already all three listed and all of people coming pretty regularly.
Right. So I think we need to look at what is the intent of the four in each area, and that intent is to, you know,
provide local residences with
that
opportunity.
That, and not create the problems that the communities surrounding us have found with too many RSDRs because it's conflict of, you know, other interests.
Right.
So if we already have four, and there, to use the term grandfathered in again, then they would just apply for a CUP in, you know, best case scenario. That would fit that four situation, but they would have the first option to do that. That would be the way that I would approach that. That way we're not doubling it, because then they're non-conforming and we have an additional four, now we have eight. That just kind of Defeats.
None of them are according to this ordinance.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it seems like whatever we're going to do is going to cause some sort of problem for somebody, so.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you do look at, they also provide full income for other people in the town. You know, there's people that are taking care of them that have been able to stop working at one of the restaurants because that's what they've been wanting for a while, and now they have a full-time job doing that. And so we also want to be careful that we're not taking employment opportunities away from locals.
That are already existing, I agree. Yeah.
Or potentially. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that is something that they're looking for, something that isn't working at where they currently were or something, and trying to find more stable, long-term employment.
Understood.
And that's something that we've heard over and over, too.
But, you know, not at the risk of creating a de facto commercial zone in a residential neighborhood.
No, absolutely. I think,
that's the essential thing from the vision statement and Boulder's general plan for me. So
I agree.
I mean, this town has made ends meet and found ways to be here economically without these since the beginning.
Yeah.
And is that, you know, do we want to turn this community into a, RSTR lodging to provide employment to people who want to live here? And that isn't in the general plan. It's not a vision.
Do you mind if I interject another thing?
Yes.
And stop me if I've repeated this, but the county has passed an ordinance that applies to the counties, I mean the unincorporated areas, whereby it's illegal to operate a business without a business permit. Mm-hmm. And to the extent you're making this a business, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't apply to the municipality, but it'd be easy enough thing to draft another ordinance that says something like that. And so in order to actually run that, you have to get a business permit, which has its own set of requirements.
That's under, I think, 5E.
For state tax.
Oh, okay, my joke.
A business license and sales tax number issued. I believe that you have to have a business license.
So that
within this ordinance.
So that would bring the ones that are currently operating, they would need,
right,
presumably to get a business license.
Right.
And
so correct me if I'm wrong, we had the discussion on were we going to require a, you know, Boulder business license or just require that they follow the state requirements, because we have the option of doing either. And I think we came to the conclusion that a Boulder business license would also be required, which is good for tracking. And it also will fit into the county ordinance.
That's what we have here, business license and sales tax.
No, and I think Josie makes a good point in making sure that you specify that it's a Boulder business license and not just the state compliance. But I believe that is something that we had said in the past,
right,
but I don't know if it's written in there enough.
So we'll want to go ahead and define that detail.
So that was a bit of a tangent as we were asking about,
right,
quote, grandfathering in those, the wrong words.
Right.
But back to 3B at the moment, so would we want Curtis to reword this in a way that doesn't put the boundaries into ordinance, but makes our intent clear and allows the town council?
Say, and the boundaries are adjustable by, by a vote of the town council or a vote of the planning commission.
Yeah. I kind of like still, instead of, going with the detail of the exact location, leaving an upper, a middle, and a lower.
Yeah. Okay.
So that there's at least a standard to start with.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we can slim it down from its specifics at least.
And something should be, the intent should be in there of saying, you should be able to adjust the boundaries in order to balance the number, so that the number of housing
are spread throughout the town limits, yes. Yeah.
Approximately equal.
Okay, number four, ownership and occupancy. To qualify under this ordinance, the owner must comply with the following, be the owner of the lot. This is where we'd have to change it to no absentee ownership, correct?
That's kind of what's here.
Is that what's
here?
Yeah.
We keep the minimum of 182 days.
Yeah, I think that makes you a resident. 6 months.
No owner shall own more than one, yes. That's good. Okay, LLC. Only the owner, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is all fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm. So no changes in four?
No. I don't think so, unless Elizabeth get through here.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Maybe I'll put a little clip on this.
So number five is the CUP, the conditional use permit. Let's go through this.
And that's an annual?
Yeah.
So that.
So I think this is, you know, in this section is where we want to talk about those that are already existing, having, you know, first right to that. And then after, I mean, okay, so after that calendar year, does it go back to a lottery or do they get to continue? And until one becomes vacant and then a lottery opens for that?
It sort of depends.
I think it has to, I think we have to define, because that's one of the questions that came up, you know, that we need to clarify.
A 1 year term would be, seems just too difficult for planning, so you can't.
With that said, I was going to say, having it as a lottery doesn't allow anyone to make any long-term plans and use this in there. And it also, you put a lot of infrastructure into making it, and then you only get to benefit from it for 1 year. So it seems like an unnecessary restriction, in my opinion.
But on the infrastructure part, if it's back to where it is in within your home, it's not an ADU. So I guess there might be some, I mean, bathroom perhaps, but there's still going to be.
And within that, I mean, if you look at that ordinance, the ADU, it does say that if they get the CUP, they can. So it's just a matter of, you know, it doesn't matter in that one, but to say, regardless of what it is, whether it's a room in your home, whether it's your whole home, however it works out, it is going back to saying a lottery is us taking a lot from people being able to plan for their future.
So then, are you saying that it's the first come, first serve, basically, the first four in each area, and then they can have that as long as they want to keep renewing their CUP?
Then you have to maintain a waiting list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, more people apply than there are places, then you have to have a lottery, you know,
if one, in the beginning, and if one opens, or would we go to a waiting list?
Yeah.
First on the waiting list.
Yeah.
I have no preference on that. It's just what is.
I mean, I would start it as first come, first serve, because then it seems like the people who are most serious and following through will go forward with this process, get their conditional use permits, and go. And then maybe they're, you know, I don't know after that.
And
think about the, you know, you're talking about the infrastructure of setting it up, and if you can set it up and you're not able to get the permit, it is a long-term rental. It's available as a long-term rental.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
And that's kind of been the point, so.
And I wonder if that's something that we can also address when we have more information a few years down the line.
Yeah.
Or people are clamoring, we need more, or we don't need more.
Yeah, to adjust the four.
I mean, do we need to figure that out now?
No,
because all ordinances can be revisited.
Yeah, and I just, for me at least, you know, the first come, first serve sort of promotes someone who's diligent and wants to really do it. And the lottery is like everyone's going to make a rush whether they're prepared or not.
That's a point.
Sort of frame it,
mm-hmm. And then if they win, what do they do with it? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. My thoughts.
That's a good point.
Well, it seems as though applications vary a lot in terms of their completeness and their quality.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It seems fair to have some sort of evaluation mechanism, perhaps. You know, some people may be more fully fleshed out in what they're planning to do and how they're going to run it than somebody else, and just, I'm not sure a lottery fairly addresses that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So That's true. But then you're in the role of...
We'd have to have clear, you know, clear guidelines to follow on how we're going to evaluate, mm-hmm. so there's not biased. Mm-hmm.
So right now, without the wording at all, it's going to be a first-come, first-served basis. Unless we...
I think we say that somewhere in there.
The all of the stuff required for the conditional use permit.
Yeah.
Is like if somebody is like missing something, they can go to the end of the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That's basically
right. So we're going to scratch F number one and F number two, right?
I think given just the advice from okay. Curtis, yeah, we should.
Scratch F and
all of F, yeah.
I guess all of F, yeah.
And then under five.
That addresses those two or three people that have spoken about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually doesn't really make sense.
And then, I don't know if we clarified, under 5E, that's going to be a bolder business license?
Yes. I brought up last week the idea, I forget how we handled this last month, with the fire extinguisher thing with outdoor barbecues.
Yep.
That was written into yep. the safety mechanism here for
mm-hmm.
fire.
I agree.
And to follow the county fire restrictions.
County fire, okay.
Yeah.
So that would go under H.
Another thing I came up is being able to do town being able to do inspection.
That's a good point.
Oh. So, you know, Conrad, actually, it's the first thing Conrad has ever said that actually seemed like a reasonable thing. It's like the town needs a way to like make sure that they have fire extinguishers
okay.
and smoke alarms.
Right.
So somebody should be able to do inspections.
Would that be someone on the town council? Like,
it would be like the enforcement officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or someone designated by the town.
So we do municipal fire restrictions. So just to clarify our language, we do fire restrictions through the town that gets signed. We've done a couple of those. And then, go ahead.
Well, there's what the town does is, you know, as far as you know, what I do for fire marshal is basically mm-hmm. outdoor stuff and new building. You know, for existing buildings, there's a like for the school, there's a state guy that comes. For commercial buildings, there's somebody from out of town. So there's no mechanism right now for doing inspections.
Okay, so but I'm talking about when we go into fire restrictions, like you know, the federal lands go in fire, the county lands, but the municipal lands go in as well. We don't piggyback on county because we're a municipality. You guys have to do your own fire restrictions. So that shouldn't say county. That should say municipal fire restrictions, because we fall under.
Yeah, it actually should say, you know,
town,
county, and surrounding public land. I think it's all those things should be in there because people,
right.
you know, people go out.
Okay.
I think that's
so that would
fire restrictions for the area. You know,
yeah,
should be kind of
because that would be federal, that would be county,
yeah.
and that would be.
As soon as the county goes, you know, or the public lands, the town goes.
Not always. A lot of times, we're way ahead of municipal on federal lands. But
yeah,
it depends on the area.
It's just that you do it right before right after a town meeting, the chase is still the next meeting.
Right.
So what do you want to say? Just kind of generic?
Area fire restrictions?
Yeah, area, for the county, municipal, public land.
So, well, one thing I want to bring in, and I know I brought it up last week, and I still feel pretty strongly about it, so I still think there should be a minimum 2-day. Here are my thoughts on it. We don't have it in here right now. While I understand it might feel like it's taking away some of the owner's ability to do something like that, I feel like
from some of the public comments too, that just one-day drop-ins are not the sort of tourism. I mean, it doesn't fit into me, the quiet use and sort of idea of Boulder. And when you get people in here for 2 days, you get people who actually really want to be here. It's not a last-minute cell phone call because they're somewhere en route somewhere or because the hotel's suddenly full. And it also allows them to be in town longer, giving more, perhaps, business to some of the business owners. And it's more of a homestay than just a sort of a one-night stand in Boulder sort of thing. I think it will, even though, I think it will reduce the amount of people in our residential neighborhoods, maybe not the amount of traffic if they're driving back and forth, but I don't know who my neighbors are having come in 7 nights a week. I have 7 new people coming into my neighborhood. That makes me nervous as a resident. And if I can reduce that number, all the better. So those are my thoughts on it. It's why I'd want to add a minimum night stay, you know, 2 people, 2 nights. And, it's pretty common from what I can see. So any thoughts on that?
I support that completely. If we do put that in here, we'll need to change 1-1 because we have for a period between 1 and 29. We'll likely need to put between 2 and 29. 2 and 29. And then also put it under the... What else?
Wait, what are you changing? Page 1-1.
You're okay with that, or which
is? Yeah, between 2 and 29 days.
Oh, okay.
I'm just looking to see where else that would fit, to clarify a minimum stay.
And if you are a RSTR owner, you do a lot less laundry. Yeah.
Saves water.
Yeah, it does.
Check water conservation.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the hotels are for, really. I mean, they can deal with the single stays and so on. Mm-hmm.
So that's an early placement where I've seen that fits.
Yeah, that's all I think as well.
Yeah, I think so. Although I wonder if we'd need to be more
specific
and say, and just add maybe something in that first part.
That's one or restricted.
Yeah, okay. Just minimum occupancy 2 nights for our RSTRs.
There you go.
So back to, I guess we're at number 6?
I think we're on 5.
Okay. You're right.
So 5B2, this is where Mayor Cox brought up that ADUs would not fit under this. For 2 dwellings exist, a statement of how owner occupancy and RSTR occupancy will be apportioned. That would need to be taken out if ADUs are not going to be allowed. If it's going to be part of the main dwelling or the whole house, the whole main dwelling.
I think I'm fine with that being in there. I mean, the whole point, every time that got brought up at the last discussion with the public input, was the whole reason, I think it's section 9 of that other ordinance, was it allowed ADUs to have to be able to go through this, and they were then separate, but it didn't then say that that wasn't allowed. And that was my interpretation of sitting in all those meetings.
Okay, but he said it would not.
So let me get this straight. So you can, as it is now, you can have a building that you can use either, a separate building that you could use either for an ADU or an RSTR, but you could never do both.
Right, you just, yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you couldn't have 3 buildings on the property, but if you have the ADU, in that ordinance it says that it can become a short-term rental if you go through this proper channel.
So people who already have a building have the option of one or the other, but what happens if I'm an owner, I have an ADU, I have a long-term rental here, I have my private house here, then I'm short-term rental, you know, doing a rental in some of my rooms in my house. We have to write that specifically.
Well, there's the case that, like, if you have two rooms, two extra rooms in your house, is that two RSTRs, or is that one?
It says no owner shall own more than one RSTR or be entitled to more than one CUP within the Boulder Town limits. So if you got your ADU under a CUP, it wouldn't allow it.
Right. Okay.
So you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm just wondering, you know, the mayor said he wouldn't sign off on using ADUs for RSTRs. So if we leave it as is and pass it to the council, knowing that that may be taken out.
But we should talk to him. What was his issue with it? I don't understand what the problem is with.
That, and we'd have to look back at the notes, and I think it was in the January, but that when passing the ADU ordinance, it was meant to be for long-term rentals and to solve the long-term rental problem. And if we're going to be using them as RSTRs, it takes out of the intent of the ADU ordinance. And I think it's in those notes.
It is, yeah. You know, Perry disagreed in those notes, but intent had thought it was different too. I'm only saying this because if we are restricting it to four, you know, then it, you know, it's not, how much is it really taking away from the ADUs is my point. So, the one thing the public said a lot is they wanted to have the choice if they already had, or even if they wanted to build a building, that one could be used either way. So they had option in how to use their extra building.
And options over, you know, times, because people might want something for some period of time and then something for something else.
Yeah.
Or they may not want people in their home for short-term rentals, but an ADU is, you know.
Right.
But if you're having a limit on how many per, what, you know, why? What is our intention of saying how and which ones? If we're saying we're limiting them to four to protect neighborhoods, what, you know, what is our intent to say, no, you can't do that when that ordinance that was passed says if you go and get a CUP and you then follow it this way, then you can. You can't just call it that all of its own. That was my interpretation of that ordinance, of what it said, and so I guess I just don't understand what would be the intent of not allowing it.
And I think he was clear that the intent was that those were to be used for long-term rentals. So.
Well, I think being able to do an RSTR might actually make it so you could finance your ADU, which would allow you to have a long-term rental or a guest house where you're for someone, your caregiver or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's limited in number, I think that kind of takes care of the long-term rental, displacing long-term rentals problem.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can convince the mayor. So.
Well, I think it's a good point, and that we should have that discussion because it was brought up. So,
Because I just imagine, say, I have an ADU, I'm living here, or say, actually, I start with an RSTR because I'm living here and I'm owner occupied, I'm doing my RSTR, and I decide that I want to take a sabbatical for 3 years, but I want to do a long term rental instead because I'm not here as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm screwed, you know. So it's like, I really heard from the public that people want the option, and I don't think it's going to be a diminishment of the ADU use, personally.
Okay.
I think at least the public will appreciate that a little bit more.
The more flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not making a...
We're not striking that.
Change, okay.
But it might be something good to come back to.
Well, it's good to have the discussion and have it in the notes. And,
Okay. Tax, property, guest instructions, business license, sales tax, plat, sketch of the lot showing dwelling or dwelling. Yeah, okay. This is all what's
going
to cut. Yeah.
So the 5E.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it would go in with all of this, but Peter, with the, what you all just passed, the new transient room, would that be included in this, or do you have to specify it? So it's still considered under the state?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure if we needed to add it specifically or if it was covered.
Yeah, it's covered.
Okay.
It's covered. It's the state casting.
Okay, 5H, 5I. Okay, moving on to 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Property management. Okay, how do you all feel about, it seems a little bit, and I heard this a bit from the public, I like the idea, but in reality, having to meet your guests when they show up could cause all sorts of problems, or requiring that, and how would you enforce something like that?
Yeah.
I think that's part of the kind of the personal service and owning the property.
Yeah.
And I think it goes along with that, you know, having it be owner-occupied, have it be,
right.
It's like it's a personal thing rather than, you know, something.
Right.
The one thing that people
could probably strike that if we're not doing,
and it's also a job for somebody.
Well, and that, but the one thing that people then, you know, said was you have Candace and Corey's place. They just have the keys hung, and you can meet them in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, and that's an option. People can just pick up keys if they've already gone to bed and get a room. And so, that was the one thing that I heard was, is, you know, if you say that you're available 24 hours. And that you'll meet them within a time frame, was somebody suggested, and I can't remember, as opposed to have to hand deliver the keys, but just that it's a person that is there. And I think it is, it's that who is going to enforce it, and then if we make something that we're not enforcing, are we opening that Pandora's box of, oh, you don't have to follow this rule or any of these other rules, which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so I think it should just be...
Make it easier to comply, I guess.
Or make it realistic.
Yeah.
You know, because even if it, the owners are there and they're renting a room out, but they have a job, they might not be able to be there the exact minute their guest is arriving, but they're still going to be interacting with them. You know, they're sharing their own kitchen with them.
Right.
They're going to be around them, but they might, the, you know, half hour window that the guests arrive, they might have a prior engagement or something, you know, so to just be real realistic about it.
Yeah, those are all really good points. I mean,
yeah. Rather than say deliver the keys, say be available while the person is staying there.
Yeah. And rather than show meet the guests upon arrival. I mean, given that we're doing owner occupied, the intent's built in now.
Yeah, that's
so
what I
think. Seems like we can sort of strike some of those.
In the case of somebody like taking a 3-month vacation, then. It's not the owner that's going to be running it.
Yeah, that, the property
manager. But it'll be that third party,
yeah.
Whatever person that is employed that has a job to do those types of things.
Are you okay with the time frames on that? The guest telephone within 1 hour, person in person within 3 hours?
I think that is reasonable.
We pulled that from another ordinance too, so...
In B, it says the property manager shall physically acquaint the guest with the blah, 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 with the dwelling.
Yeah.
Maybe shall be available to.
Yeah. Physically. Well, it says and provide.
It could just be the property manager shall provide them with a set of written instructions.
Yeah.
That way it could be a brochure.
Yeah.
If we struck that, and then we just have to change the language in 6, where shall meet the guests upon arrival, shall provide the following upon arrival, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one, the little I, under B.
Yeah.
I know avoided is, you know, the high hopes, but I think it should be really emphasized that trespassing is not allowed, not unavoidable. I mean, it's like, it should be written and stated that it's not allowed, not please avoid.
And a lot of, and the problem is many of the property boundaries aren't marked.
No.
Right.
But by saying that you have to specifically say, no, there's no walking or hiking from the property, and these are where trailheads are. So it's not people walking in neighborhoods, you know, even, you know, from the property. There is no available hikes from the property, and make it clearly stated. Because, you know, if it's like, oh, here, because people could be like, oh, I just misinterpreted that. And so I took a walk, and I walked through it. All these people, you know, and I think somehow it missed wording, and I don't know how, but it can be more precise than just to be avoided.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, even if it says no hiking or wandering or walking or whatever from property, but instead use public trails or public roads and public trails, because, you know, people could walk on a road. But not.
I think it should say where walking by vehicles is explicitly permitted and where it is explicitly disallowed.
Yeah. So, however that.
Both.
But that is an area that I think that could be really honed in on and made much more clear.
As well, since we are, well, it's pretty clear here. We are a ranch town.
Yeah.
So control of guest dogs and other animals to me is very crucial, actually.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Otherwise, someone's going to get a shot dog or chicken eaten or something.
That might actually be, maybe we should have that in the...
In your thing, you should say...
If the dog runs free, it might be shot.
Yeah.
Humans and animals that are trespassing will be shot on crossing the long-run line.
That'll fly, no problem. That'll keep our character.
Then he'll pick the people who want to sign up for these Airbnbs.
Usually it's not the dog's fault.
So are you changing that too?
It's the human's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Or are you leaving it as a control of guest dogs? Or do you want to make that stronger somehow? I didn't get what you were saying.
I think it's sufficient at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we need to reword 6.4 there with the municipal fire restrictions? Is that the spot for it?
Yeah.
6.4.
Sorry, 6.4. Area. Say. I think that, you know, the town that includes, you know, surrounding the town is the county and whatever public land.
The town and surrounding area.
Yeah.
How do they know what that is?
Well, it'd be up to the owner to.
What's the town and what's surrounding the town?
So it'd be part of what the owner would have to say.
There are restrictions.
And that's
Forest Service, BLM.
That's the owner's responsibility to clearly state that for their guests during that season. You know, it's not like it's not saying, "Oh, here you need to look it up." It's you're informing all guests of the current fire restriction.
It's April, not a fire outside. In the afternoon, especially.
Right now, you can light a fire outside.
Yeah. Right in the space.
Get it going.
So, I think important are 6 and 7, specified quiet times and dark sky. Is that strong enough language for everyone? Are these ordinances, by the way? They aren't yet.
No.
Yet, I say. Yeah. Are those reasonable hours? And then finally, number 7 is what?
It's a misdemeanor.
Okay. It's
the
serious stuff. Okay.
I'm kind of stuck on the dark sky, where all exterior lighting must be turned off and light pollution through bay windows must be minimized. I don't think that we can require all exterior lighting. I mean, I think if it fits within dark sky standards with hoods and such, if you say all, we're creating a safety issue. You know, if folks come in late, they're not allowed to turn on a light to get from their, right, to get into their house. That I think we need to fix that, that language. And the bay windows, you can, you know, draw your drapes or such, still.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it sort of depends on how the house is set up and the mm-hmm. owner's done to, in if and in consideration of that.
Yeah.
It is a little bit of a tough one to require, even though I like it.
Right.
I mean, I'm saying that because, again, you know, neighboring property who has RSTRs now, neighbors show up, the exterior lights are on all night, they shine in my window, the guests leave, since it's absentee owner, there's no one there, the lights stay on
the
for
one,
three,
I mean,
4 or 5 days.
They've been on for 2 weeks straight
right
now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so that's ridiculous.
That is. So we need to figure out a way to word that more that is within reasons for safety, that falls into our, you know, what would be a standard dark sky requirement.
Yeah. And like what you're saying, you know, even if it's not them coming in late at night, if they decide to go and, you know, eat at a restaurant, they want to be able to turn a light on so when they come home,
right,
because it's not a place they're familiar with, so you want them to be
well,
safe.
Well, there's definitely
you
safety
know.
Issues
yeah.
in our
yeah.
area. That
so, yeah, it is. It's how do you accomplish both of those things in the one written document.
Sure. Well, here it's a specific
seven.
Dark sky time is from
10 p.m. to 7
a.m.
There's no
of course,
place in
people need outdoor
that
lights
for regular
when it's dark.
No, there's no place in the ordinance. I'm just wondering,
yeah,
too, that
well, but
cross-referencing between different references, between different ordinances.
Yeah, this is supposed to be less intrusive.
Right.
This is supposed to be... It's more restrictive than just regular people.
Well, because it is bringing more people in hours that wouldn't be normal. I mean, we're usually in our homes and
people
done by 10.
People who are not familiar. Maybe there should be something about checkout, that somebody should come and turn off all the lights when it's unoccupied, that the owner or the running manager
that's
turns off all the lights when it's not occupied.
Can at least respond to a phone call.
We might have to chew on that one before we set Curtis on it, huh?
And let's look at what Tori has done.
Okay.
At their language and maybe bring in those
yeah,
requirements.
Yeah,
that would
dark,
more reasonable.
They have more
yeah.
restrictions on dark
right.
skies than we do.
Right. And
yeah.
it might not be something we can address until
we do
that's taken
ordinance.
Care of
yeah.
at a different level in town already, where we can refer to something.
Right.
Do you say any place in the information there left about phone numbers, emergency phone numbers, or because of the
it's
fire?
It's be available by phone within 1 hour.
I mean, the people to call if they have an emergency happen. Like
so you're saying, okay,
like
they live
the property itself.
Oh.
They would still have to just call 911, though.
Which shall include, so do you want one of those things in there? Well,
cell phones and 911, and if you do, like, you know, Wi-Fi calling 911 doesn't really work that well.
So do so one of the things that they have to have a landline so they can call emergency services? No?
No, that'd be too much.
I think having a phone number, emergency phone numbers
available. And putting that in the under B for what is required to be written?
Yeah.
Emergency.
Yeah. I think that is, because, you know, because cell service is crappy, and people do, you know, get Wi-Fi in the house, you could call them and do Wi-Fi calling.
Right.
But then, with Wi-Fi calling, it doesn't really know where you're coming from.
Right.
With 911, it's weird. And I remember when I turned on Wi-Fi calling on my phone, I had to go, you know, click through this whole big thing about, you know, we've assigned your phone to this address. And it's like, well, if you did that at home,
I have an idea, back to dark skies for a second,
mm-hmm.
is in the cup the owner's required to have hooded exterior lights.
Yeah.
I know it's not in a town ordinance, but it's a conditional use.
It's in, it does say hidden.
It does.
Yeah.
So why don't we just put it there, then we don't necessarily have to address it here. Does that make sense? Or am I missing?
You can just say it complies with town lighting. There's not a lighting ordinance per se, but in the building standards, there's a mention of hooded exterior lights.
Okay.
Is that good enough to
So we put that where? In the, under number five? I want it sort of specific.
That would be one of the conditions. Or conditions.
Yeah. Is that reasonable?
I think it is.
Going to that uh, 4B, and I guess going back to what Peter said, did we answer it, that if someone has more than one bedroom in their home, can they rent them out, and is it separate, or is it, like, you can rent two bedrooms, but it's one rental? I hadn't thought about that until you just said
it. It's a one party.
One party. So it's one transaction.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would make it.
And that's how that would be worded. I hadn't even thought of it until you just said it, so I didn't know if anyone else
had. Yeah. I don't think this, I mean, if you had like three rooms and you want to do three transactions, I'm not sure that this addresses that specifically.
That's really making the leap into commercial.
Yeah,
if you're settling it, yeah. If you want to run a boarding house, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hostel.
So change
the language. I don't know the language.
I don't know if it's necessary to change to do it, but I just, after you said it, I kept kind of coming up of where does that go into wording of it. But I think if you say with no ownership of more than one, I think that covers it. It's, you know, it's. Mm-hmm. One ability to have a transaction where, you know, and using that example as the ranch at the end of Lower Boulder, you know, right now there are three, but they are three separate buildings.
So
it doesn't fit in. But, and I know that Ellie's isn't the same thing has its own thing, but how she's advertising it is on Airbnb, and so it's just how people choose to advertise. And I know that neither of those are fitting into this. I just as examples, and I was even thinking, you know, like the guest ranch has all of their rooms on Airbnb because it's easier for booking.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know they have a business. It's a different thing, but I just had never thought of it as individual things until just this moment.
Yeah.
And when there are little holes, people like to get in.
If somebody wants to do something like that, you're doing their bed and breakfast in.
It's going to be the route they're going to go.
And it would be, that's not that hard to do.
No, but, and that's the route that Ellie did, and that's what people would do.
Yeah.
So that would be, it would just say, this isn't the route, it's this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a run-through of the draft for Curtis edit. Do we have any other comments or things that we want to discuss about maybe the draft itself or the public meeting, any issues that we haven't addressed from comments and stuff like that?
Do you want me to read the anonymous letter that we received to the mayor, the town council, and the planning commission?
Yes, because I haven't heard of it.
Sure. When was this received?
Last Thursday.
Oh, you heard of town council?
Yeah, we saw it last Thursday.
I don't know when. Oh, it was dated February 4th to mayor, town council, and planning commission. And it covers a lot of stuff that includes some RSTR comments.
Okay.
I guess for the record, I will read it. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for taking time to help our town move forward and become a more understanding community. I totally appreciate the willingness of the surrounding communities wanting to express their concerns of how our community should move forward as not to affect the quality of life that they now enjoy. There has been little understanding how their views will affect the planning of ordinances as to how the town should regulate its citizens. I welcome their comments as long as it doesn't interfere with any property rights. I have worked hard for the past 40 years to make Boulder a better place to live, not to be directed on how to develop, manage, how to rent, or who to rent to our property to. We pay town property taxes in this community. Each and every one of you are trying to preserve your own piece of Boulder. Let us not make more ordinances on what if this happens until the need arises for the problem. At some point in time, this will affect all of us. I go to the meeting only to become frustrated with the continued comments of what is best for our community when it will only affect the residents of town. And the unwillingness to explain that these are Boulder town issues. Thank you for your concerns. We are clearly on a path to regulate short-term rentals. This ordinance should not be used to provide employee housing for any business in town.
And the lights went out, so. Oh, we're back. Could you repeat that last sentence?
Yes. This ordinance should not be used to provide employee housing for any businesses in town. As to only allow rentals in certain zones is
That meant RSTRs?
I think so. I think this part is talking about RSTRs. As to only allow rentals in certain zones is a bad idea. All zones should be allowed if the housing is available for short-term rentals. You don't regulate ADUs in zones. Short-term rentals should be required to obtain a permit to operate from the town. Pay all room taxes associated with the rental or the property the same as lodging in town. It sounds like you wish to increase the transient room tax for additional income. You could consider an increase in the sales tax collected in the town. This would increase the tax base paid by all those who use Boulder services. Boulder Town residents already are assessed the community sales tax on our power bill, phone bill. This is a tax on people living in town limits only. This does not apply to the county residents. Perhaps you can figure out how to collect a community tax for this too to use for the community. I encourage you to stand up for your rights and beliefs. That is the reason I'm writing this letter, to express my opinion as a resident of the town. Thanks.
Anonymous. Thanks,
Bud. Duly noted, anonymous. Thank you. Well, regardless of last month's public comments and this public comment, I think we're in a pretty good spot here for a re-edit. I don't have anything to add or address to that. So, check on that. Should we move on to our next business?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, and that's Josie update on general plan work.
Oh, could I just say one thing before you?
Yes.
Ideally, I would go through this whole list of things that you decide to change, but my notes are kind of ununderstandable right now. So how about if I at least make my notes understandable and send those around to you before we forward up to Curtis to do anything?
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Then we'll just review them and then get them to Curtis so we can have them so you can draft.
So we can be in process by the next meeting.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you, Peg.
Okay, so moving on. Yeah. Okay, so general plan revision, we met this week. What was this?
Last night,
thank you. On the 13th. My week's been very busy. not everyone was able to attend, so we had about half of our committee, but we were able to go through all of the work group recommendations again and cross-reference them with the work we've done so far. And then I went through the document and highlighted those areas and pulled in all the review comments that we still needed to address. As said, we've gotten a lot done, and we have a little bit more to do having gone through that exercise. So we've rescheduled our next meeting for Thursday the 21st of this month. I think given the work that we hope to accomplish there, I'm hoping that the following day I'll have a version out to the Planning Commission to review before our next meeting in March. And my hope is at that time we will take comments from the Commission and edit suggestions that
best case scenario, by April, we can have a document for the public and schedule a public hearing.
Great.
So, okay. Let's see, just to add, last month, and we had mentioned this in the notes, that we were going to use the Google Doc system to share with the Planning Commission. It's not a platform of editing that I am fond of, and it creates a lot of work on my end as an editor. So it's better for me just to send by email our latest versions to the Planning Commission, which I did this week. Oh, I did this morning. Was that this morning? Anyway, so next Friday, the 22nd, I'll do that same course of action where I'll send an email version for everybody's review.
It's really gone. It's been surprisingly smooth.
Yeah.
I think part of it is there's been way more prep, I think, than we needed just to rewrite it. But I think gathering all the people and getting everybody involved makes it, everybody's invested.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a good process.
And your organization, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay,
so
that's the update on general plan work group. Next item of business would be upcoming business for our March 14th meeting. Are we going to be ready to have a public hearing for the RSTR?
It won't be a hearing because we'll need to run it through the commission.
Okay.
and get comments. And we can discuss it, and then if we wanted to have, an open public comment period at that time, it'd be fine, but I think we really need to run it through the entire commission before we present a document to the public.
So one item will be continued discussion of the RSTR with a further edited draft ordinance.
Four, five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Two will be, it looks like we'll also be reviewing the general plan from the general plan work group.
It might be good to put a goal for the RSTR, say a goal is to have the ready for a hearing before the April meeting.
Okay.
For RSTR.
So yeah, the goal for both those items of business is to have
public hearing.
Public hearings in April, that would be our intent. Hopefully we'll get there.
Can we do a public hearing on both?
RSTR
and general plan?
You could, it'd be held at night.
Yeah, we might want to split that up, actually.
Yeah, okay. So whatever priority, probably the RSTR.
So it'll be April, May, that we have some
make more sense.
But still, that's...
You can always schedule a special meeting. I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait a month.
Does one make sense before the other? In some ways, the general plan does to me. But
yeah, me too.
Because it gives sort of an overall
sense
of where we're at as a town, and the RSTRs can, to me,
it might help guide the RSTRs. Okay.
We could kind of say it, and then also take into consideration what Colleen and Perry think, and just say tentatively, but we'll decide at the end of next
week. So maybe, I don't know, is it maybe an item in the business is scheduling public hearings for both RSTR and the general plan.
There you go. Okay. That's good.
Do we have any other things on the table for the Planning Commission? Anyone?
I have a suggestion. Just, I think if after the old business, after we approve the minutes, if we open up for a short public comment period and then do one at the end, one, it'll allow people that come that just want to say one thing to be able to come and not sit through the meeting, and then also it allows us to have different work, and then people have different comments at the beginning and the end. And other boards that I've attended their open meetings, I really enjoy that aspect when they have a two public comment periods.
Okay, we just need to make sure that they have like a minute.
Yeah, and you can say it's a 15-minute public comment period at the beginning and a 15-minute, you can put a limit on it. But I do just think there's a lot of people that come in and they just want to say one thing, and usually, sometimes it is just this one thing that they want to say, and it doesn't necessarily fit into something. And it is a nice opportunity for us to hear what the public would like to add to things that we're discussing throughout the meeting, instead of waiting until the end.
I like the idea, as long as
doesn't go into holding the planning commission hostage from getting some work done.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we also need to run that by Perry and Colleen.
Okay.
So discuss, comment, and stuff.
So let's put that on item business, discussing opening and closing public comments.
Okay, now, just kind of public comment policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just allowing it.
I just know that we had talked about it months ago. It was suggested and the planning commission said yes to it, and then it never happened.
Okay.
And that was something, it came from the public, and it was before I was on here, and I was really excited about it, and then it was no follow through from, and I've heard that from a lot of, two or three people have commented that it was something that was decided and then passed off.
Okay.
So I wanted to reiterate it.
Great. Okay. Last item of business, are there any, we're going to open this up for public comments. Pete? Okay.
Peter, thanks for coming.
And we'll close it.
It's been really nice having all your comments throughout and your support.
So,
thank you all for showing up.
It was hard.
Nice snowstorm, yeah. Okay, so does anyone want to make a motion to close this meeting?
I'll make a motion to close.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
I want to do a roll call. You did.
Yeah, thanks
it.
Everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you need a ride.
Nope.
Can I stop?
Oh, yeah. Yes.